Hello, and welcome to Sideways. This week, we're talking about a subject that's particularly difficult for many of us, and especially so if you happen to be in recovery. Christmas.
There we are. So, Christmas is coming.
Yes.
The goose is getting fat.
Yes.
Didn't you have a cat that you used to call Goose?
I did have a cat I used to call Goose, yes.
What's his real name?
Ben.
Why Goose?
I can't remember why he actually ended up being called Goose. But it's not just Ben got called Goose. It was then used as a generic term for every cat.
Right. Cats?
Just cats were called Goose.
Anyway, so I thought we could talk about Christmas.
I'd love to talk about Christmas.
Because I see you've got your notes.
I've actually got Christmas as one of my...
Have you?
Yes.
You were preempting the possibility that I might want to talk about Christmas.
I didn't know what you were going to talk about. Yeah. But it was something I wanted to talk about. So that's bizarre.
Right. Oh, Christmas bizarre.
Christmas bizarre. It sounds like we've sort of organised this, but...
We really haven't.
No,
if anybody was here watching us, they'd realise just how...
unorganised this is.
Disorganised.
Disorganised.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the difference?
I don't know.
Letters.
So, I thought we should talk about Christmas. A, because it's the middle of November.
Yeah.
And... it's kind of getting towards that time of year. And B, because I imagine, I know because we've spoken about it before, but I imagine that Christmas presents its own issues for people who struggle with alcohol.
Oh, yeah, very much so. It's one of those times of the year where people have been coming to groups for a while, for example. We advise them to make sure they sort of up their meetings if they can, as much as they can.
Right.
And we keep an eye on each other because we know, having run these meetings for some time over the years, I always see Christmas where the lapse ratio seems to soar.
Right.
And it's one of those that if you can be mindful about it well in advance,
mm-hmm.
you can do something about it.
I remember you saying to me once, a long time ago, that when you are drinking... when you're still in the midst of your addiction, that Christmas had a particular allure because it was kind of the one time of the year where you felt normal because everyone else was doing exactly what you were doing.
You're exactly right. And if you're like, I'm going to pass these notes across, you know, like on Countdown, when they say, look, see how I did it. See, look, fitting in with others, drinking excesses.
So they do that on Countdown?
Well, they pass it across. I've got to the number.
Oh, yeah, right.
So if they've got it the same way, they have to prove it.
Yeah,
nice. So I've got to the same point about Christmas. It was always something... everyone else caught up at that point. I remember thinking, which is good because other people at Christmas are having a drink with their Christmas breakfast, you know, a bit of Buck's Fizz or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And I'd been doing that all year round anyway. not Buck's Fizz, but vodka.
No orange juice.
No orange juice. No. Well, if on Christmas Day, I'll perhaps treat myself to orange juice.
Yeah.
And also, I'll pour it into a glass, right? Which rather than straight out of the bottle, I thought it was very much the festive thing to do.
Actually, that reminds me of you telling me. I remember one year you told me what you'd had for your Christmas dinner. Do you remember that?
I do. If we're thinking about the same one, where I had baked beans on toast, that is indicative of where...
That was actually quite good, wasn't it, for an alcoholic?
It was quite good to heat something up. Yeah, it really was. But I think that's a great illustration as to where the isolation comes when you're getting towards the... You've either got to do something about your addiction problem or you're going to end up dying. And I think things like that, being alone on Christmas Day, when no one wanted to know me, I didn't want to know anyone else. My only real panic was when the shops were going to open up again, the off licences, etc. Yeah. So I had to make sure that I had enough for 2 or 3 days. Now, to have enough to cover 2 or 3 days, you really had to plan to have enough for 5 or 6 because you know the more you have, the more you indulge.
Yeah.
It is Christmas, so you treat yourself to an extra one.
I mean, what do you remember about that? Although you said there that, you know, when you reach that point where no one wants to know you, you don't want to know anyone.
Yeah.
It wasn't really... Do you think that was true, that nobody wanted to know you? I think
that I'd become... not really that pleasant to be around.
So no and change from usual then?
No change. Is it an enhanced level? No, I don't think... It was probably more from my side that I would push people away. So they would probably want... They'd probably tried during the year to try and organise something, and I'd said no. I was either doing something else or come up with some, or just let people down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was supposed to be going somewhere, I just didn't go.
Do you remember how you felt that day when you were having your beans on toast?
No, not really. I can't remember how I felt. I can imagine how I felt.
Mm.
I can imagine now, looking in retrospect, how I felt. My feelings at that point would have been pretty dampened down by alcohol. So I'd have made sure that I wasn't really aware of what was happening. So I'd just be escaping my emotions pretty much the same as every other day. It would have come and gone pretty much like any other day at that point.
It was just a bit of a nuisance that the shops weren't open.
That was my only concern. Yeah, that was the only real dampener.
Yeah.
It's strange because Christmas has always been... It lost its allure, really, I suppose, once the children grew up.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Christmas myself as a kid,
and
I didn't like it particularly. I always felt it was a bit of, I think it's something we may have touched on before quite some time ago, is it was almost at a point where it was enforced happiness.
Yeah.
Where I got to, when Christmas was coming along, I thought, you know, I'm going to have to try and be happy.
Mm-hmm.
In a false environment, probably mixing with people that I hadn't seen for a long time and though I didn't. No, but or didn't like, or didn't like being around. But then again, I got to the point where I didn't really like being around anyone, which included family, etc. So no, I don't remember what my actual feelings were on that day. They wouldn't have been any different from the day before Christmas Eve and Boxing Day. They'd have been exactly the same, really.
Yeah, but you'd be just getting stuck into some extra.
Yeah, it would. Yes, I'd have probably had to up my medication a little bit. Yes.
Well, we used to, every year, we used to go to France, didn't we? And
we did.
And fill the car up, whoever's car we took, we used to fill it up with beer from the French supermarket.
We did. And
you were passing me your notes again.
Well, I was just looking because I was looking, I put there an air fryer of France trip or trips to France because I think. When did we go? Was it once a year?
Or we used to go every year, didn't we? You used to have a day.
Yeah, but was it just once a year, or did we go more? Did we go during the year as well?
Well, we may have done, but that was certainly our annual outing.
It was.
We'd go to France one day, and we'd have a day Christmas shopping the next day, where neither of us would really buy anything, but we'd just go in the pub.
Go
at
into
lunchtime.
The pub, yeah. Which I probably orchestrated that. I'd imagine I would have been very enthusiastic about.
We used to go with a list, didn't you?
Yes,
and. There always used to be a sugar mouse on it.
There was.
And
yes.
I didn't go with a list. And we'd usually get there about sort of 9 o'clock when the shop's open.
Yeah.
And then we'd meet in the pub about, you know, 11:30.
Yes.
12.
Yeah.
And usually neither of us had bought anything.
No.
And that would pretty much set the tone for the rest of the day.
It would, yeah. I think to me it was more of a day out having a drink with my mate rather than Christmas shopping, really.
Yeah.
I think going around in the shops in the morning, I would have made... some sort of list if I saw something as an idea, and then potentially in the afternoon after we'd had a few drinks I'd go and buy it, but it didn't always work out that way. But there was one thing I just got to tell you, when I was making these notes about Christmas, it reminded me of the story, I'm not sure if we'd spoken about it before, is when I bought some alcohol for someone.
I don't think we've spoken about it.
It was when I was in the madness, and for my brother, I bought him some. I might have even bought it in France, actually. But we'd bought it. It was like a little box of beer with like a nice little glass with it. Used to go with it. Like,
I think I remember.
Yeah, there were some Belgian beers.
I remember.
It would have been some Belgian beer, and I remember taking it home and having alcohol in the house to an alcoholic. It's really tricky. So I thought, what I'd do, I'd wrap it up. I'd put it in the loft so it'd be out of sight, out of mind. Okay.
Yeah.
And I got it back down and drank it. I was feeling particularly in need of perhaps just something rather light and rather than spirit. I thought, I'll have a beer, and the shops are closed. It would have been about probably 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
So I clambered up in the loft, unwrapped it, drank all the beer, and got in some socks.
how long had it been in the loft before you caved?
It would have been a little while, because it would probably been 2 or 3 weeks probably But it was, it started to call me, and I think every alcoholic would tell you, if there's alcohol in the house, it will talk to you, it'll call you. It right. knows where it is, and it will shout out to you to come.
You didn't have any other beers or anything in the house. No, you had to go into the loft and unwrap a wrapped Christmas present.
I did. And I didn't think much about it at the time. On reflection, it seems a pretty silly thing to do, but it made a lot of sense at the time.
Mm. Sure. I kind of think back to it now, I was probably the same, but you certainly went at that sort of French beer run with gusto.
I did, yes.
You know, and we used to have a trolley each, didn't we?
Yeah.
And you never had any difficulty filling yours up at all, did you? In fact, no. There were some years where it was actually quite difficult to get everything back in the car.
It was, and I think that what actually happened after that, after you and I used to go once a year, I know when I sort of got into a relationship with a girl who also liked drinking quite a lot, and that would be that trip to Christmas. We'd do that. Again in February and again perhaps in April, so we was going there four or five times a year, filling the car to the hilt and drinking through it and then going again. It was a bizarre way of behaving, but it served a purpose.
Mm-hmm. So on your extensive notes there, what else have you got about Christmas then?
Well, the biggest worry for me at Christmas, and to a certain extent, I mean, you might be able to help me out on this, as to why it still happens to me, because it hasn't really subsided in recovery, was the worry I always had and still have about the presents I'm buying are not good enough for the people that are going to receive them.
Oh.
It still worries me. I don't know if there's any input you could have on that as to why, from a psychotherapeutic angle, why would I be thinking that? Is there an answer to that?
Well, I mean, when you say you worry that the present's not going to be good enough, presumably you mean you're worried that the person that you're buying for is going to be disappointed?
Yes.
Well, so you're kind of worried that something that you've done is going to be disappointing. That's about your sense of yourself, isn't it?
I'm hoping you'll tell me. I don't know. I don't understand why it is, but it happens every year.
Well, does that sort of same feeling happen in any other aspect of life?
I'm always better at, they always say it's better to give than to receive. I'm much better at receiving gifts than giving them.
You're better at receiving them?
Yeah, I am.
That's interesting.
I receive gifts because I'm always really grateful.
And you're very greedy.
And very greedy. No, it's nothing to do with the fact, just give me loads and I don't want to spend any money out.
Right.
I would say that it's whatever gift I'm given, I receive it and I'm really happy and really grateful for it. But giving them out, I always feel that I'm letting that person down. I haven't really either thought about it enough, or I haven't taken into account what they really want. I've perhaps panic bought it.
Or like sort of four bottles of beer in a fancy glass that you put in the lot.
It didn't worry me particularly at that stage, but certainly it did worry me that, you know, the socks I gave them in replacement, we're going to be up to scratch.
I'm wondering if, so, you know, in terms of that kind of worrying about the presents you're giving.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a kind of obvious thing, but it kind of feels as if it's an extension of you. You're worried about being a disappointment. I wonder if you worry about being a disappointment.
Yeah, I think I do.
Right.
I think I do. I mean, that has subsided perhaps in recovery. But that was a factor that always stayed with me during my darkest moments. That was uppermost in my mind. And there is still a bit of that hanging over.
So if there is a bit of that hanging over, then it would make sense, wouldn't it, that it would come out at a time like Christmas, when you're giving something to someone and you're wanting them to understand or to feel that you value them and you care about them, and you're worried that that gift might not land properly and they might not think that.
Yeah, I think, but doesn't everyone feel that? Doesn't everyone feel a pressure that when you're selecting? I know I find it when we're talking about the Christmas shopping days earlier on, I still find when I'm looking around for Christmas presents for someone in particular, I can spend days looking and discounting things.
Right.
Before I'd get to somewhere even close to being reasonably happy with. But I still worry. When I'm wrapping it up, I worry when I'm delivering it. It's even worse if I'm there with them when they open it.
Would that include the gingerbread bath bomb that you gave me?
I was happy that I wasn't going to be there when you. Where was I? When
I think you were here. When I may have been. I unwrapped it.
Yeah, it's quite jokey. I was quite happy with that selection. I think it fitted perfectly.
So I'm assuming that your worry is more about gifts that you give, maybe to your children.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who else do you worry about?
I think pretty much everyone I give a gift to. I mean, the gingerbread bath bomb was quite, made me laugh.
I still haven't used it.
When I bought it, no, I saw it upstairs earlier on. Yes. Yeah. I saw it, I thought that's an ideal present. I was quite happy with that, yeah. but it was quite rare. Well, I knew you'd receive it in the correct manner, but it's very rare that I ever pick something up in a shop or looking online. I think, that's exactly right for that person.
But well, I suppose with other people then that you're giving gifts to, you're perhaps, you know, there's inevitably some of your past is coming into your consciousness, isn't it?
I don't know why it is there. It may be I think it was probably there before my alcoholism started and flourished, and it's still there in recovery. I don't know. I
think that fear when we give gifts, I think it is about us feeling, you know, so you give a gift and what you're talking about here is an underlying question. I wonder if that gift's good enough, right?
Yes.
And what I'm suggesting to you is we could dispense with the gift and we could say, well, forget the gift. Your subtext perhaps is, I wonder if I'm good enough.
Do you think that's true? I mean, it's not something I thought about. I was hoping you'd come up with some sort of answer because it's never.
I just have.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I've got to think about that to see whether.
I mean, I can't tell you that's what's happening.
No.
But I would say that's probably worth considering. You know, there's some insecurity about, you know, whether you've done something that will be seen as the recipient in the way that you want it to. You're insecure about your gesture, aren't you?
I am. Is it a self-esteem issue?
Sounds like it.
Okay.
You know, if I give you a gift, then it's better, isn't it, if I can feel confident that you will receive that gift in the manner that it was given, you know, in the spirit that it was given, which is a spirit of, you know, friendship. If I'm very worried that you're going to think, oh, it's not very good, or I haven't spent enough money, or it's not good enough, then that says kind of more about me, doesn't it, than it does about you?
I suppose so. I mean, I find it a lot easier when for example, my youngest daughter sending me, she recently, because her birthday's coming up, it's quite close to Christmas, but she sent me a link to exactly what she wanted, which I was then able to go and buy, and it was fine. I'm happy with that.
Well, there you go. So you don't have to worry that it's not enough.
No,
you?
I don't.
Because you know that it is, because she asked for it.
Exactly. But without that input, I struggle.
Mm. Well, you always used to have a list when you went shopping.
I had a list of who I had to buy for.
Well, you also have that. Didn't you have a list of things to buy as well?
Well, I'd compile that on the day when I was walking around looking at things.
Before you'd been in the pub.
Before I'd been to the pub. I knew after the pub that if I hadn't put the hard work in to the Christmas shopping day, by the time I'd been to the pub, that I would have made irrational decisions after that.
Yeah.
And bought bad stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I've always found Christmas, the whole thing about Christmas, and I still do to a certain extent, I find it quite tricky. It's quite difficult watching my fellow addicts struggle around the Christmas period. It gets heightened on the awareness of alcohol becomes heightened on the TV and the adverts, etc. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that come to groups for some reason, and I've seen it cropping up on TV now more at this time of year because it's cold. So the people that come to groups that are street homeless, Christmas to them is a real bind. And I think it's generally speaking, I remember we ran an Aspire to Be meeting on Christmas Day one year.
That.
We did it because there was a bunch of us that said, look, we're not really in a position, we don't feel that we're fitting in particularly, but having a meeting on Christmas Day when we know that is a major problem area for us, for potential lapses, we sit together and have a bit of collective strength and it was fine.
So just going back to that question you asked about why you sometimes feel nervous about giving presents?
Always. Always.
Why you always feel nervous about giving presents?
Yeah, yeah.
And we've been having a chat, haven't we, also about, you know, you'd said, well, what can I do about that? And I said, well, you know, be aware of it. And it reminds me of something a client of mine once said to me, who was also a recovering alcoholic, and he'd been in recovery for about 10 years. And he said to me that one of the big moments of enlightenment that he had was when he realised that recovery generally, not just from alcoholism, but recovery from any sort of condition, didn't mean the eradication of the problem. It meant the consciousness of it. So in that way, that kind of the question you have for yourself around why you feel nervous about giving presents, if that is about your sense of yourself, then being aware of it might be one of the things that helps to ease it. You might not be able to suddenly say, oh, that's okay, now that I know it's about my sense of myself, I'll just give presents and I won't worry. But knowing that that's what's going on there might make it easier for you to deal with. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And it's always nice to have some sort of handle on that. And I've always wondered how many people or other people have that issue, whether it is... It is about. I don't think it's linked to my,
no,
to my alcohol problems in the past. I'm, because it's still here now.
No, although addiction won't have had a positive impact on your self-esteem.
It wouldn't have helped it out. That's for sure.
I mean, I worry about giving presents. I don't worry about giving presents to you, but I sometimes worry about giving presents. But I haven't ever given you a gingerbread bath bomb. As far as I can recall.
I think jokey presents are great because they're taken.
Yeah.
I think in the manner they're expected. If you're trying to buy a serious present. I've often found buying for a girlfriend, especially if it's a girlfriend I hadn't known long.
Yeah.
Buying a present for them, that used to worry me tremendously.
Yeah, well, quite rightly so.
Especially if you're trying to buy a bit of jewellery, really tough to find to. I think you've got to know someone quite a long time before you buy such a.
Well, you know what the answer to that
intimate
is.
Intimate present, really. Don't do it.
Correct.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, just thinking. I remember you also bought me, I think it was for my birthday actually, a family of small rubber ducks for my bath. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
I still use those. They used to flash when I first had them, but they don't now. So, you know, nothing lasts.
Well, they don't know. They weren't very expensive, you know. So
you do surprise me.
They're not rechargeable ducks.
I just wanted to ask you one thing before we finish.
Sure.
We've talked a lot about Christmas, but... what about New Year? Because that, if anything, that's thought of as an even boozier time, isn't it, than
It is.
Christmas itself.
It is. Again, looking back, you can look at it from the two angles of where my condition was reasonably controlled in the early days. Again, New Year's Eve was just brilliant because everyone would drink an awful lot more. And if I did get completely drunk, completely ruined... People didn't seem to worry that much because there's so much carnage around them and everyone else was overindulging.
Yeah.
It just that, and so everyone on like January the 1st had a hangover. I would have just carried on and January the 2nd and then right throughout the year. So it was there was a brief respite from people looking down their noses at you, and that was particularly heightened on New Year's Eve. But I think now I look at it and I see there's real problems around it. We certainly have people come to groups, and we always encourage people to come along to our groups as they're approaching their detox. So they're still drinking, and a lot of them will be cutting down. But we get this weird period where people are coming along and they defer making decisions about their drink until after Christmas.
Right, so I'm going to stop in January. That sort of thing.
Exactly, yeah. It's almost like a New Year's resolution. But it's not really a resolution to give up. It's a resolution to not want to give up now. It's deferring the problem. And it's often a question that comes up in groups as to when is the right time to give up.
Right now.
Well, exactly. There isn't a good time or a bad time to give up. It's when it's necessary. And by the time you got to the point where you acknowledge you've got a problem, There isn't a bad time. Get it done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem that I have with New Year's resolutions. You know, yeah. If you're making a New Year's resolution, you're really making the change because of the time of the year,
yes,
rather than because you want to make the change. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why all the gym car parks are full until the third week of January, and then they all empty again because everyone says, oh, I'm going to get fit. Not because they want to get fit, but because it's January and they feel like they should make a change. And I suppose the same is true of drinking.
It does. I mean, the Christmas and New Year period is a great excuse for those people that are considering whether they have a drinking issue or not to defer.
Mm.
To defer because they know they're going to indulge heavily over the Christmas period. And I went into detox in November, and it was being that close to Christmas. I felt, you know, I'm doing this at a really tricky time of the year. It's going to be really tough for me. Perhaps I'll defer it. But again, I was encouraged to go through and to see how I got on. But as long as I had an awareness about what Christmas was likely to bring, and indeed Kenwood Trust, who were looking after me at that time, were brilliant about that. And they did a lot of work on me, and we talked about it a lot. And after I got through that first Christmas, I felt I'd really achieved something. And by the time the second Christmas came around and I was still sober, it wasn't half as bad. Mm. It really wasn't. And so, Christmas is a difficult time for people that are either considering giving up drinking, or those people that are just gone into sobriety.
Yeah.
It's tough. There's a lot of stuff out there that's encouraging us to drink.
Yeah.
And the last thing an alcoholic needs is encouragement.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's it for this week. Cup of tea?
Thank you. I'd love one. Yeah, thanks, mate.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.
Sideways was created by Graham Landy and Martin Pankhurst. If you want to read more about our work, visit grahamlandywellbeing.co.uk/sideways. You can also follow us on Twitter, and you can email us just to let us know what you think of the show or with any questions that you might have for us. We want to thank you for listening and ask that if you've enjoyed what you've heard, that you tell someone about it. And finally, we wish you a very happy Christmas and a peaceful New Year, and we'll see you in January.